I think it's cool. Pretty much what happened last night, I was sitting down watching WrestleMania. I fell asleep and I ordered some wings because I figured I was hungry. And when I woke up, the bag was clearly chewed into by cats.
By what? Cats.
Yes. Yes.
No.
Yes. Is it?
Yeah.
No bullshit.
You think it's the same ones from the last episode?
I know it is, for a fact. No, the cats, this has not been happening since before the cats, and all the bad shit started happening after the cats.
Really? So this might be like, so maybe you might be like a rest haven for missing kittens at this point, man.
What do they say? I've been hearing, everybody's been saying that the cats being around me this much has been a good thing.
Really? Is that like a sign of good luck or something?
I feel like nothing but bad things have happened since the cats have been around. Just saying.
Yo, listen, man. The cat wants to be your friend, for real, for real. At this point, it sounds like you should have just taken him and his kid in and just been a parent to them both. Because clearly, in Amon, it's like, yo, that you like the little spot down the street. It's like, you know, I chill, do my thing, but you know what I mean? I got someone down the street. This dude, he feed me from time to time. He left food out for us. No, we had wings last night.
Those cats gonna starve. And you know what? I have nothing against cats. But, like, apparently, according to state law, who would have thought, you're actually supposed to be letting cats eat because they have, like, a feeding rule. So the cats are walking around and nourished.
Huh?
Yes. I found this out when the state also didn't find out that there was a cat in my wall, which I clearly said and heard there's a cat in my wall.
Hold on. So there's a law that says that you have to feed the cat?
No, you don't have to feed the cat, but they don't encourage you to not put food on the ground or to pick it up.
But it's wild. Why would I pick up something that...
So they're well fed. I guess they don't go through your trash and shit, I guess.
Hey, man. Well, it's good to know that you're helping. It's good to know that you're following the law. You're a law-abiding citizen at this point. Because you fed them last night.
I unwittingly followed the law. It was nowhere near an intentional thing that happened last night. I'm actually pretty upset about it, but it's what it is.
Did you eat the rest or did you leave it out for them?
Fuck no. I threw that shit in the trash, man. Like, I can't mess around with that stuff, man.
Why don't you just leave? You might as well have just left it there for them. They already started eating it.
Share the meal with the cat. You know what I mean? We can break bread together. No.
Should have sat outside. Just sit outside in front of the crib. Like, yo.
You go,
whenever
now.
It's like, whenever you're ready. It's like, yo, I'm sitting here. Mm. I'm eating wings. I got ranch down there. It's not milk, but it's ranch.
Nah, man. There was buttermilk ranch blue cheese in there. And I like me some blue cheese, man. Are you a blue cheese or ranch person?
I'm a ranch person, man. I'm more of a
disgusting. Yuck.
Bro. I'm not really for the tanginess of blue cheese. Plus, you know it's mold, right?
I don't give a fuck, man. That shit tastes good. I personally enjoy blue cheese.
Mold?
I enjoy blue cheese.
Mold.
I'll eat that mold all the time because it tastes delicious. Yeah.
Make sure this is how we're... Leave that one part. That's going to be the first soundbite. That's going to be a new soundbite. I'll eat mold. It's delicious.
I don't care, man. Like, I like that shit. It tastes good to me. Introduce us to the listeners, Spence.
Oh, yeah.
Tell us where they can follow us at, too.
Oh, of course, man. Of course. Yo, what's going on, everybody? You checking it out? It's the Highly Advised Podcast this week with your boy Spence, as well as Nigel, the tribal chief, otherwise known as Lau. He's not in today. Off conquering the world as he always does. But outside of that, this is episode 91. Outside of it just being episode 91, like my co-host asked me to do, you could follow us on Instagram at the Highly Advised Podcast. Check us out on Twitter at Advised Highly, or even if you want to check our faces out and see what we're doing, or check the background out, I got it on mine. Go to the YouTube and check out the Highly Advised Podcast. We're everywhere else if you want to stream us. Now that I think about it, if you want to just anywhere, we like a hot pocket to some extent.
What's your name?
Oh,
who are you?
Oh, I already told him. I'm Spence, otherwise known as Saint Kitch, otherwise known as You know what I'm saying? I'm not even going to give that alias out.
Oh, okay, okay. It's a secret. But,
hey. You know what I'm saying? Keep your lips tight, man. Come on. You know what I'm saying? How about you introduce yourself, though?
This is
Who relaxing. Are you?
This is Relaxing Nosy _ Jackson. I'm here with Spence. Big Cozy, Too Cozy. Fell down the steps, you know, broke his ankles. We won't be seeing him for a little bit, but he will be back. And soon we'll be in good health.
It's going, next time we see him, he'll be walking down. He'll be walking like Vince McMahon.
Yep.
Yo, you ever seen the gif where is Max B's face on Vince McMahon's body?
No.
That's the image I'm thinking of. I'll send it to you, man. I'll have to send it to you.
So last week, you know, since you've been off and we didn't get a chance to talk to you, or was it last week or was it the week prior?
I think it was the week prior. Okay. The week prior, that's when the whole cat story you were telling.
You're right. Okay, this week, it's been such a blur. Like, all we've been talking about is this Will Smith shit. And, like, to a certain degree, it's been exhausting. But it's been interesting to see the reactions of comedians and different celebrities, like, come out and say things. It's been actually kind of divisive to a certain degree.
Oh, no, it definitely has been. I mean, you're seeing a lot of... seeing a lot of artists, or not artists, but just actors or entertainers overall, creating like certain opinions. Check your phone. But there, you're seeing a lot of different opinions come out. There are a lot of people that are saying they, that's the image I'm talking about. Sorry about that, listeners. But yeah, from what I've seen so far, there's a lot of artists that are taking, that are more on Chris' side, have been on Chris' side so far in terms of their feelings on the slap, as well as it just looking in the media world and overall. We've seen where Will actually stepped down from the Academy, and I believe I've also seen some headline where Netflix is actually, they haven't pulled some show or series that he has coming, but they put it on hold. They're shelving it at the moment.
Yeah, a movie called Fast and Loose. I'm not sure if that's the one he was supposed to be in with Tom Segura or not, but, you know, definitely it's been kind of interesting to see what's been going on. Because
Tom Segura? Isn't that the one in the tweet?
Yes, that's him. <Hold on. laughs> They had a movie coming up and they were supposed to be in it together, yeah.
So why would you...
Apparently, this has really struck a chord with the comedians. They don't care. They find this to be disgusting behavior. And I think it's interesting because, you know, it's opened up a lot of dialogue where it was like, hey, you know, it's like, you know, the way women feel about it, the way it affects Black people, the way it affects the Academy, comedians, like it's been all over the board. And people have, you know, been talking about it all over the place. I haven't been in one avenue that has not shown or talked about Will Smith.
Nah, I can believe it, man. Like, this is a hot topic, bro. Like, even, and we'll talk more about it, but even in the Dreamville Gangsta Grills tape, right?
Right.
DJ Drama makes a comment about the whole Will Smith slapping Chris Rock thing. And says, yeah, and then I'm gonna walk back to my seat after I do it. So, like, this is like, I forget the phrase that he used, but he used a phrase that lets you know, like, this is like, probably, this may be one of the new coined phrases. So, like, this thing is growing legs because I think it's creating a bigger conversation.
Right.
Like, for comedians, from a comedian standpoint, I can understand it as a person that's going to comedy shows, right? This kind of creates an open season for someone that feels like, oh, I feel disgruntled. So I'm going to go up there the same way Will felt disrespected. I'm going to go up there and do the same thing, unfortunately. Hopefully we don't see any of that, but like, I can understand why comedians are taking such a hard stance on this.
Yeah, especially, they're not standing for it, man.
Yeah, I mean, seeing what's came of this so far, like, I mean, well, I know before we already said, like, there was no agreement that this was the rightful action, right?
Right.
But do you think, seeing what we're seeing so far, what do you think this may mean for Will Smith's career? Because I think, I'm not sure about you, but this is like the first time I've ever seen Will Smith have any type of backlash, like, by like the consensus. Like, this is the first time we've ever heard, oh, Will Smith is resigning because of his actions. Oh, they're putting, well, the Tom Segura thing, that might be part of the influence for the Netflix movie, but.
Right. I don't know, though. It could easily be something else. But, yeah. I mean, as far as how this will affect his career in the future, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see how his career kind of goes forward in the future. A lot of people have lost a lot of respect for Will Smith, but a lot of people are on Will Smith's side, I guess, depending on what side you fall on. It's a lot. It's a lot to think about, but I feel like as long as people keep on talking about it until they come out and address it and Chris Rock comes out and address it, we're going to continue to talk about this throughout the year. Like, this isn't over by a long shot. Tony Rock just came out to Tupac the other night saying that he's going to come out to Tupac for the rest of the year. You know what I mean? So, who? Like, Tony Rock, Chris Rock's brother.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, this isn't over, to say the least. They even mentioned it last night on WrestleMania before it all started.
Are you serious?
Yeah, of course they did. There's not going to be a place where this is not spoken about. Anybody who feels like they can escape this, that's pretty much the way it is. It's everywhere, and you're not going to be able to escape it until it's like a done deal.
And to be honest with you, I don't even know if it's going to be hard for this to even become a done deal for a while. Like, because typically, we all know how the internet works, right?
Right.
Media especially. Things come, they appear, and then they disappear because something else appears. Like, this will probably be the topic for a while until something as big or not, if not bigger, can eclipse this. But
exactly.
But even then, at this moment, like, I'm not sure, but are they going to do a red table talk also for this?
I mean, you already know they have to. Like, everybody's making money off this, so why shouldn't they? And I don't even think it's about money. Like, I mean, everything's about money to a certain degree, but
right.
They have to talk about this. You know, it's such a big deal that it has to be spoken about. And like I said, there won't be a resolution until it is spoken about.
Yeah, but see, honestly, bro, I don't even think I don't even think they should be doing it themselves in this situation, just because this is one of those conversations where whether you address it or you don't address it, nothing's going to really change. It just becomes this conversation is only going to grow legs, because I don't even think there's, at this point, granted, Will's apologized. Some people like his apology, some people don't like it, to each his own opinion, right? But the more that it's already heavily talked about, right? So as this dies down, because you know how I think the attention span of a lot of people can be. So it's like, once this dies down, people are just going to pick up this new conversation that they have. And there's always going to be the conversation now of like, what would you have done? What would you have done? Oh, I would have smacked him. Oh, I wouldn't have smacked him. Oh, blah, 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 X, Y, and Z. Like,
I feel like if I am to hear them talk about it, I'd rather hear them talk about it on their show. So at least I know it's what they want to say. Because when you do something like this, I'd rather hear what you have to say about it.
Yeah, I'd rather it not be on their show. And only reason I say that is because I think there is a thing of like when you have both of them just sitting together and having this conversation for an open display, I don't think it's a conversation the public should have should be able to see, right? Because it's that conversation between a couple, they can speak only a language that they can understand internally, because there's certain things that even whether something said or not said, there's certain things that they know are inferring to, right? Or having reference to. So to me, I think it'd be better if they went, Will Smith being such a big act at this point, if he went to some other show and found a way of saying, hey, I'm gonna sit down with a reputable journalist and have this conversation. I think then you're allowed, it allows for someone from the outside to push against whatever that belief system is, right? Because I'm not saying what Will or Jada's belief system is, but if my wife agrees with my actions, right, and she feels though my actions are right, our conversation is kind of going to go only one way. You know what I'm saying? It can only go in a certain direction versus, okay, you take someone, it's like a therapist. You take a therapist is different. Getting advice from a therapist is way different than getting advice from a friend, I'm sure of, because it's someone that has no stake in the game, no skin in the game. Whether you win or succeed is on you. It doesn't impact them to that point versus someone may say, well, I think you should go do this because it's for their best interest as well. You know what I'm saying?
The way I see it is that I can kind of question them for myself. So if they put out their explanation in the way they want to say it, I know that they'll say it without, I mean, if they'll say it without hesitation because it'll be what they said coming out of their mouth. Yeah, you could have pushback in a conversation, kind of like how you'll have certain interviewers, you know, question the interviewee, I guess, and go back and forth with them and whatever. But at the same point in time, that's going to make them hesitant to answer. And I feel like no matter what venue the situation happens in, I'm going to question what they say because that's just how I am. And I know a lot of other people are like that too. So I don't necessarily need somebody else to do that.
Okay. I can understand that. I think, and it'll just grow legs into more of a conversation. I will say that much. And for all you know, maybe it may end up being mentioned at the next WrestleMania.
No. I hope not. I hope this shit's over by next year. please. My God.
Yeah, that would be the worst. Like, speaking of WrestleMania, though, I didn't catch it. Did you? I'm guessing you had a chance to see it.
Yeah, man. So, believe it or not, if you didn't watch it last night, it comes on again tonight. So, I know you don't.
Two nights in a row?
It's two nights in a row. So, you should watch it tonight, Spence. You know, I know you didn't watch Morbius. So, like, you should watch this.
Come on. You act like you know me or something, bro.
Okay. Well, regardless, like, I think it was a good show. It was decent. It started off kind of slow. There was a tag team match in the beginning that was cool with the Usos. And, you know, there was another match in between that I thought was F. But Logan Paul actually wrestled last night.
Really?
Yes, he did. And he did a good job.
Oh, like good job, good enough job that this could be like something, a new avenue for him possibly? Or,
I mean, it was a good match, man. I'm not going to lie to you. It's actually pretty entertaining. It was The Miz and Logan Paul featuring, versus Rey Mysterio and his son, Dominic.
Oh,
Mysterio.
Really?
Yeah, it was a good match, man. It was a good match. It's worth a watch.
I'll definitely watch. The fact that you said Rey Mysterio, I'll watch. I'm just going to watch it just off the strength of it being Rey Mysterio.
I'm not the biggest fan of Rey Mysterio, but I know, you know, fan favorite, people love him, so.
Yeah, Viva La Raza, man. R.I.P. Eddie Guerrero, man.
I hear you. Yeah. You know, definitely R.I.P. No, R.I.P. Eddie Guerrero, like, for sure. Rey Mysterio is, you know, but regardless.
Yeah, I mean, it's an opinion. It's everybody got their own opinion. I'm not mad at it.
Yeah, but I mean, shout out to them. They put out a decent match. Cody Rhodes made his return to the WWE last night. It's a big deal because he was in AEW pretty much from the beginning of it. And now he made his way back to WWE for this match. Now, I'm not sure if that means he's going to be back for a little bit of time, this match, but he's one of the top stars over there. So it's like a little bit of like a crossover match for the moment. But I guess we'll see as to if he's switching sides or crossing over. Who knows at the moment?
Oh, shout outs to him, man. That's pretty nice though. Especially, so you're saying he left the UFC. AEW. He left AEW for this.
Right.
Well, he has, I'm sure, I don't know much about him, but it must mean something, cuz WrestleMania is not like a hack and sack type of event in WWE.
Well, there's been rumors to say as to why he left. It's been money, creative reasons, this, that, and the third. But nobody seems to know as to what the full story is. So, you know, but regardless, he got a big pop last night and people like seeing him. Ronda Rousey wrestled last night. She wrestled Charlotte Flair. Ronda Rousey cut one of the worst promos I've seen in a long time about a week or two ago. You know,
what you mean?
I'm not going to lie. The promo was just very bad. But the match that her and Charlotte Flair had last night was actually decent. It was a good match. Charlotte Flair won. You know, Charlotte Flair, Ric Flair's daughter.
Nah, I did not know that.
I'm
not caught up on it. I'm still blown away at the Rey Mysterio and his son.
You remember Stone Cold, right?
Yeah.
He had a wrestling match last night, too. Main event.
Get the fuck
out. I'm not lying to you.
What? Isn't Stone Cold like 60?
So Stone Cold is 57 years old. I have to check it this morning myself. They've been saying that Kevin Owens and him were going to have a segment, quote unquote, at the end of the first night. So he comes down in an ATV, drinks about 8 beers throughout the whole night. And, you know, eventually, long story short, they have a match. Hits him with the Stone Cold Stunner, pins him, 1, 2, 3, crowd goes crazy. Crowd was going crazy for Stone Cold the whole time.
I believe it. If I knew Stone Cold would have been there, I'm not gonna hold you. Just from childhood memories alone, I would want to just to attend just to see him, to be able to see Stone Cold Steve Austin. Hands down, I think he may be one of like the faces from like his era, like if not the face, if not the turning point for his era.
Well, so here's the thing. I think this is the last time we see Stone Cold, excluding some possible match with The Rock. And if we see
I don't want to say that. I'm sorry. I sound like a hypocrite based off my first statement, but I don't want to see The Rock. Don't get me wrong. There's history there. I would love it, right. But not in 2022. I saw Stone Cold and The Rock when I was 10, man.
Trust me. I hear you. The match was entertaining, though, and I'm not trying to see that either. But the rumor is, the rumor is that, you know, Roman Reigns, he has the belt right now, and the one match people really want to see is Roman Reigns versus The Rock. They're all part of the same family, that tree.
I'm not mad at it. I'm not mad at it because it's The Rock. All I can say is this. I know with The Rock, I see The Rock in the movies. I see Rock on Instagram in his workout videos. What in the world do you think Stone Cold Steve Austin's going to do granted, we know wrestling is wrestling, but like, I'm sorry, 57-year-old man fighting The Rock.
Hey, man, look.
Roman Reigns might have a long day, but 57-year-old Stone Cold Steve Austin fighting The Rock, man.
I know Stone Cold's body has to be hurting right now. He took some bumps that I was surprised he took, and I was just like, damn, man. Like, it wasn't even anything super crazy. Sting's doing more at this age than The Rock, or I should say Stone Cold, but even still, like, that's a lot to be putting on, you know, over a 50-year-old man.
Yeah, and you know how their bodies get damaged. Like, The Rock, if he's wrestling, he probably can take a lot more damage because his stint in the UFC wasn't as long. And on top of, he didn't seem like he was taking as much damage as these other wrestlers.
I don't know, man. Like, you got to think, like, no matter what, your body's your body. And regardless if you were an athlete in 30 or not an athlete at 30, when you hit 50, shit's going to hit different.
Oh, no, that's a fact. That's definitely a fact. But let's be honest. I don't think anybody in wrestling is making the type of paycheck that The Rock is making.
Absolutely. Yeah.
With that type of money, you can get some things fixed. That's just like that whole story back in the day with Kobe, where I think there was like stem cells or something like that wasn't legal here.
Right.
He made so much money. I think it was like a knee injury or something, or shoulder injury. He left, went there, got it fixed, and came back balling like he never had an injury. Like, yeah, the body deteriorates as you get to 50, but when you got The Rock money, trust me, yo. Trust me, man. I'm sure he's able to walk every day.
It sounds like chicks going to the DR, get shit done. That's what that reminds me of. That's what that sounded like. I saw a picture of this chick like sitting in the DR. She was all bandaged up. I was like, damn, yo. I was like, holy shit.
Yeah, bro. Listen, I've seen some of those girls on my story, for real, for real. I've seen one of them chicks where it's like they get wrapped up and then they have like the little tubes for the blood and all of that stuff for leaks. I think one girl said she had to put like a towel on her bed just because she would wake up and it'd just be covered from like the fluid coming out from the surgery. Man, listen.
Price of beauty, man.
Yeah, it definitely is. Anybody that's watched anything with like WWE or from the WWF days of like the behind the scenes of what they do to their bodies to go out and perform, it's not a BBL, but it's practically just it's just as strenuous. I will say that much.
Now, definitely. Next weekend, definitely watch WrestleMania that comes on tonight. But next weekend we have the return of UFC. We haven't had a UFC event in about 2 weeks, so I know the fans are, you know, craving, savoring, you know, water at the lips for the next UFC event, especially UFC 273. Especially me, of course. Yeah,
especially you, but I think for the fans especially, this may be one of the the ones that they've been waiting for, especially for at the bantamweight.
Right.
Because there's ever since I think it was last year with Aljamain Sterling versus Peter Yan. But I mean, we can get into that, but let's kind of run. I guess we can run through the card if anything. Where do you want to start at?
Well, we can start off with Alexei Oleinik versus Jared Vandera. I'm not sure if you know exactly who Jesse Vandera is, but Alexei Oleinik, I think he's going to go in there and win this fight. I'm not going to lie to you. He's good off the ground, and he's like, you know, a known heavyweight at this point in time. Like, I think he's going to go in there and kind of handedly win, but that's just me. He's a wily veteran at this point in time.
Yeah, I can agree to that. I'm not too familiar with Vandera, but I do feel the same way about Oleinik. I think even in Olenek's last fight, I think one of his last fights, he came off pretty impressive as well. Or no, not his last fight, because I think he lost his last fight. Actually, I think him and Vandera are both coming off losses. So
right.
I'm going with Oleinik as well. Nonetheless, veteran, has a lot of stripes in the game, been around for a while. So, and I think it's going to be a little bit more impressive. But I'm curious to see what comes from Vandera, though, nonetheless.
Now, the next fight we have is Mackenzie Dern versus Tisha Torres. I'm going to go with Mackenzie Dern. I think Tisha Torres is a credible fighter and she can get it done. But I think Mackenzie Dern just has more of a finishing ability. And specifically on the ground, I think if it goes there, she will just be better than Tisha Torres. Mackenzie Dern has to work on her stand-up, but I don't think Tisha Torres has the stand-up in order to really like beat her handedly. So that's just the way I see the fight going.
Okay, yeah, I'm not familiar with Tisha Torres, but yeah, so I would probably say the same for Mackenzie Dern. But yeah, I think I'll be interested to see how that fight turns out based off your analysis alone, though.
No, I'm not sure if you knew, but Tisha Torres was on a 3-fight winning streak, so she's looking to continue that, so we'll see. Another streak that I know you know about for certain.
You've been talking about him.
You've seen him. We've had a conversation while his fight ended. It started and ended. Hamzat.
I think a couple of his fights started and ended while we were on the phone one time.
Like man. Three. Like, you know what I mean?
And it wasn't even a 10-minute call. Like,
no. Hamzat Chimaev versus Gilbert Burns. This is the welterweight matchup. Probably, hey, this is the contender bout. Whoever gets this gets the next title shot. This is it.
Definitely. I think I know you have a lot to say on this one. So I will start off by saying I think I'm going to go with Hamzat on this one.
Yeah.
Just based off from looking at his fights, he's been impressive, been able to finish a lot of his opponents one way or another. Don't get me wrong, Gilbert Burns is number two for a reason, as well as he has been in the Lion's Den with Kamaru Usman before. So I think he's no short of a contender when it comes to this fight. But just seeing Hamzat, definitely with the hype and the skill around him, I think this is going to be the fight that's really going to end the questions of in the terms of does he deserve a title shot, or is he really as good as people are posing him to be? Don't get me wrong, he has fought some competition, but we all understand Gilbert Burns at 170 is one of the top contenders at that division for a reason. So. I think this is going to be an interesting fight. I can see either this going to decision or Hamzat finishing him probably in the third or fourth.
I don't know if Hamzat is going to finish him. I think Hamzat will win this fight, but this is the fight where we really see what Hamzat has in store for us. Because Gilbert Burns isn't somebody who's a slouch. He has the ground game. He has the power in his hands. He has the ability to win this fight. It really, in all reality, he has the ability to not only beat Hamzat, but maybe finish Hamzat. Because if he catches him on the feet, he can catch him in a submission, and that'll be that for his unbeaten record. But Hamzat has shown himself to be nothing short of a wrecking machine. So I'm curious to see how this fight plays out. I have Hamzat in the second round by TKO.
I'm not mad at that. I mean, the thing with Gilbert Burns, and that's the thing that makes this such to me, I think this may be one of the bigger fights on this card, just because of the hype around Hamzat and knowing that Gilbert Burns is not a slouch. But I think because of what we've seen from Hamzat, everything is impressive. Everything looks nice until it's put in the light. And this is going to be the biggest, will be the biggest stage he's performed on at this point. So I'm curious to see how this plays out, but I wouldn't be surprised if Gilbert Burns ends up finishing him. If anything, I think Gilbert Burns could finish him in terms of a knockout, but I don't know. I think I still have Khamzat either winning this by decision or possibly in the fourth or fifth. A
lot of questions will be answered after the next weekend. And we have another question that will be answered in the Aljamain Sterling Piotr Jan co-main event. The fight for the bantamweight championship. Spence, who do you have?
I'm going with Piotr Jan. And don't get me wrong, like Aljamain, phenomenal talent, great guy, you know, great guy. But I think a lot of the controversy around this fight initially was that Piotr Jan, he lost due to breaking some rule or something like that. I think it was like, was it like a 12 o'clock elbow or something? Or no, it was hands on the, I think his hands were on the, I think he kneed him with his hands on the ground.
There you go.
Yeah. So
kneed a down opponent.
Yeah, that's what it was. So like, he was DQ'd because of that, ultimately losing the belt. But Piotr Jan hasn't looked anything short of what he's always been in his previous fights since then. And we all know Aljamain has been out for one reason or another. Of course, there's speculation as to why, maybe to milk having the belt longer, but I don't know. I think Piotr Jan is going to actually come out and just win this fight, though.
I think that after Piotr comes out and wins this fight, they should have a rematch. I think that Piotr takes the fight in a decision or a late finish, not because Aljamain Sterling might not be the better fighter. I think that Aljamain's actually a pretty credible fighter, and I think he's a very good fighter, but he hasn't fought since the last time they fought, and since they fought, Piotr Jan has been going out and beating competition. So I'm not sure how Aljamain Sterling is going to look, you know, coming off the bench, because he's been on the bench for quite a bit of time at this point in time, if I'm not mistaken. I think it was like when they fight, like the end of 2020?
No, it was last year, I believe.
Was it last year? Early last year?
Yeah, I think it was like April. While you keep talking, I can look it up.
Either way, after that fight, we have Alexander Volkanovski versus the Korean zombie Chan Sung Jung. I am looking forward to this fight. I think that Alexander Volkanovski will win this fight. However, Chan Sung Jung is nowhere near a slouch, and I think that this fight is going to be competitive. I think that Chan Sung Jung is going to have him in a few, I would say, dangerous positions. But I think overall, Alexander Volkanovski takes this fight. I think he actually has enough in his repertoire to finish this fight as well.
No, yeah, I definitely agree to that. I mean, I think Volkanovski overall has been, so he's been an impressive champion across the board, especially in most of his fights. I'm not familiar with Chan Sung Jung, as well as you are, but
Zombie, man.
Okay, yeah. I'm familiar with Korean Zombie. I thought that's who.
I know you would.
Yeah, because in my mind, I'm thinking like, I'm like, why he's trying to pronounce? I'm like, I thought Volkanovski was fighting Korean Zombie, but I was like, all right. I'm like, all right, cool. I was like, maybe I'm thinking of someone else. But yeah, so I do think Volkanovski will win this, but we've seen the Korean Zombie fight before, and there's a reason why he has the name he has. I think he will give. Now I'm understanding who it is. I do think he may give Alexander some problems, but overall, Volkanovski, as we've seen, he's been able to elevate his game overall to always find a way of keeping the belt. So I think he's going to end up winning this nonetheless.
If I'm not mistaken, the type of streak that Volkanovski's on, this is going to be like probably one of the later fights in his streak of a long streak of worthy opponents. And we might have to start having a certain type of conversation about Volkanovski. And if you're into the fight game, I think you know what type of conversation I'm having.
Yeah. I mean, I think when you've been the champion and serving for a streak for so long, you at some point you do start to get, there is a certain conversation that you enter. And I think at this point, he's entering that conversation now. Don't get me wrong, we know how the MMA gods are, and he could very well just have, he could really just have an off night, and we don't want to jinx that. But
right.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, though, just streak alone, I think he's definitely putting himself in that conversation. And I think there's a conversation that we will definitely be covering definitely after this bout this coming weekend.
I'm just saying his last five opponents were Brian Ortega, Max Holloway twice, Jose Aldo, and Chad Mendes. You know, it's,
come on, bro. That's different caliber, yo.
Just saying. You know what I mean? Like, you got to think about those names. And then, bro, you put a Korean Zombie on that as well.
That's a different type of resume. That's a different type of resume. That's a credible resume at that point. And that's, like you said, that's when it becomes that conversation, because it's at that point, what other featherweights are you, and when you're having that conversation now, right? What other featherweights are you putting in that were champions into that same conversation with them?
Only two others, and that's Max and Jose. And if you want to kind of, you know, no. I guess go. Okay, we're not gonna go there. All right.
No. I already know what you're going.
No. We can move on. We can.
Yeah. He never defended the belt there.
We can move on. We can move on. Actually, a title that is being contested for this evening, as we're recording this, will be the NCAA tournament for women. We have the Connecticut Huskies going against the South Carolina Gamehawks.
UConn all the way. UConn all the way.
Wow.
Yeah, UConn, I have to go with UConn. I'm not as familiar with them today as I was years ago. But UConn overall in college basketball, I think especially women's, they have a strong history in winning championships. I think they're one of the more dominant college teams overall in the history they have been. So I know it's UConn, so I got to go with UConn on that one. Shout outs to them for that. Like, let me actually look into that.
I'm going with South Carolina. Believe it or not, I have family roots in South Carolina. And not only that, I think that they just beat Louisville, who was also like a number one team. I got them going. They have more wins, less losses than UConn. So fuck the Huskies. I think they're going to take a loss.
Nah, bro. I think this part I do know, because the UConn, I'm looking for it, but I believe the UConn women, how many national championships? 11. That's how the UConn women's basketball.
Ooh.
They have 11.
They've won for 11 years. Oh, God.
Okay, man. Oh, man. I know you got family down. I know you got family there, but I'm just telling you, man. The UConn. Hold on. This is from City Insider. The UConn women's basketball team will be playing in its 12th national championship game, in its first since 2016 when it faced South Carolina. Faced South Carolina Sunday night.
Mm.
Okay, I'm down for this.
Yeah, I'm gonna watch it and watch the Huskies take a loss. You know.
Oh, so this is okay. So this is like a rematch from that game then, from when they played in the when they lost last
time. To who?
They lost to South. They lost to South Carolina. They got 11. They got 11 rings, man. I'm not. Gotta go with UConn. I'm not mad at you. You got family ties and everything. I understand. Yeah. I respect it. I'm saying I respect it. You know what I'm saying? You got your family and all of that. But
now, unfortunately, Duke was kicked out of the Final Four yesterday. This will be last game for Coach K in his very covered career. Shouts out to Coach K, shouts out to Duke, and, you know, unfortunately, they didn't make it. I think, if I'm not mistaken, it's Kansas versus UNC.
I believe so. I would have to fact
check. Tar Heels. Now, yeah. Me personally, I'm going to go with Kansas because I feel like I've been rolling with Kansas for a few years. Like, as far as I know, their basketball program is pretty nice. I don't know much about college basketball. I just find March Madness to be very fun.
I'm not mad at that. I think March Madness overall is, whether you follow, I'm not a big college sports fan either. So, like, especially basketball, well, just college sports overall. But I can agree to that. Like, during the March Madness is typically the time where it's just like championships of any sports. Whether you watch during the regular season or not, this is the time everybody keeps their eyes on it, especially when it comes to brackets. So I'm not mad at that. I'll probably go with Kansas on this one, just because I've actually met someone from from Kansas in so many words. I'll tell you the story afterwards. But
okay, I'm ready for the private story. I'm curious.
Yeah. No, it's nothing crazy. It's just certain. I'll tell you afterwards. But yeah, I'm rooting for Kansas. Just have to. Oh, nonetheless.
I thought you were gonna root for North Carolina because of your boy.
That's what I'm surprised you're not rooting for him because of him. Honestly, I mean, I know the Carolina connection already, so I figured, okay, North Carolina. I'm a fan of J. Cole, but I guess you're not really a Dreamville. You're not a dreamer. I think that's what he calls his clan of people. But
the Dreamers.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess you're not a dreamer.
I guess not. You know, but it's okay though. I do fuck with J. Cole and his music. So I mean, just because I don't want, you know, North Carolina to win doesn't mean that I don't, you know, shout out J. Cole every now and then.
Yeah, I'm not mad at that. I know you definitely got to shout out J. Cole, especially after the week they just had, right?
What happened?
So on the 1st of April was the beginning of, I believe it was the 1st or 2nd of April, was the beginning of the Dreamville Festival. So the day before, no, it was the 1st. The 2nd, from the 2nd to the 3rd was Dreamville Festival. The 1st, they posted something online saying at 7 o'clock tonight, we're dropping a Gangsta Grillz Dreamville mixtape called Dreamville D-Day. I didn't get around to it until like a couple of days later. But as a fan of a festival fan, I think this is like one of the best things that can happen from a music standpoint, just because you love, I'm not sure about you, but I love when an artist drops new music right before the show or shortly before the show. So it's something new to consume, so I can go right into it. But I did end up listening to this tape and it ended up being pretty good. It's pretty much the whole assortment from, all right, well, the whole Dreamville to like, you have someone like 2 Chainz is on there as well. And there's a few other artists, but I don't know. This was a pretty interesting tape, I will say that much. I liked, for the most part, I liked some of it. They even had Ari Lennox doing there's a skit you gotta listen to. Or more of an interlude, but it's pretty much her making a song. I forget the original song, but she pretty much, you know, the Rain Down On Me. Well, she flipped it and talked about like her boyfriend being high on perks and lean. Yeah. Okay. And saying like, yeah, like how I have an issue with you when you come down from your perks and lean.
That sounds interesting.
Yeah, bro. It's very interesting. And this was Ari Lennox like singing this. So this is like, I'll put it like this. There are certain pockets in this tape that I did find interesting, definitely from a fan perspective, especially something like that, where it's a concept, but it's a concept, but it's still something dope though.
Now, are you like a fan of the whole Dreamville thing they have going on? I'm not sure if you took out the time to listen to, you know, more of their artists.
Somewhat, but not, I'm not a big Dreamville fan. I'm more of a J. Cole fan for the most part. I still have Earth Gang on my bucket list of things, of artists to listen to. I know they dropped, you said what?
They're decent.
Yeah. I think you were with me that time. Was it you? It might've been Lyle.
Nah, I think we were at the Currency show. If I'm not mistaken, that's the first time we saw Earth Gang.
No. It wasn't Currency. It was Pusha T.
Oh, then that was Lyle, because I don't remember seeing you Earth Gang without them.
Okay, yeah. If Earth Gang was there, Earth Gang could have been there. That was a minute ago.
It's a bit. You like J.I.D.? Did he show up on this album at all?
Yeah, he shows up on this album. It's the whole Dreamville. Okay. So everyone from Dreamville is on this project. I'm not a big J.I.D. fan, though.
Really? Why not?
Yeah. I don't know. I haven't been able to get into him yet. I'm not sure. I think I'm in a different phase of music right now. So I'm not listening to as much like music I grew up on or artists from that same vein.
You know, believe it or not, nowadays I've been kind of taking my Griselda break, my whole like underground music break, and I've been listening to a lot of DMV drill music, like a hell of a lot of it.
Really? I've been listening to a lot of Bronx drill music. fucking you know, enough.
I'm not mad at it. I'm not mad at that sound coming around. I'm not mad at DMV drill. The what is it? Baltimore club music is having some type of resurgence at the moment. I'm not mad at any of it because I grew up with the shit.
Facts. Nah, that's a fact. I think that's the probably the dope part. Just like the DMV artist y'all sent me before that he's rapping over like those club beats.
Oh, you're talking about K Supreme? Yeah, I'm not sure if he's a DMV artist or not. Yeah, that's Lau that.
Okay, Lau is the fact checker when it comes to DMV for the DMV plug, so I have to ask him.
Yeah, he knows all about it.
But yeah, like I mean, but see, that's the thing to me. Like I'm a fan of like that genre of music now because one, being a fan of like sampling, right? Now granted, unfortunately a lot of these kids are probably not making any money off these songs. They're just able to post some of them up to YouTube. But I'm a fan of how they're taking some of these big pop songs at one point in time and they're remaking them into like a drill beat. And it's very interesting. I think musically it's became much more interesting than like, I'm not going to say it's a breath of fresh air, but it's very interesting in comparison to just listening to like the Griselda space.
I would say it is a breath of fresh air because I think that you need some type of balance in the rap game. Like it's nice that you have rappers like Benny and Westside and Conway and others, but at the same point in time, you do need rappers who are actually rapping and aren't the most technically skilled rappers because that is entertaining. Like we didn't like all of the rappers that came out of Atlanta because they were the best rappers, but they made some of the best music. That's just what it was.
Definitely. I completely agree. Like it doesn't always have to be about the, like you said, it's not always about being technically skilled, right? You can just, sometimes it's music is like a two-way street, right? Someone like Berry Gordy or someone would say, or Quincy Jones, I believe it's Quincy Jones, where he says a hit could be made. You can make a hit just with one hand. If you're playing a keyboard, all you need is one hand to make a hit. If you need more than one hand, or I think more than like five or six notes, it's already beyond its range, right? So like when you have artists where it's just like, hey, it's a breath of, like you said, it's a breath of fresh air because it's a different style of music and it's much more like they're not technically sound. So they're just like, hey, they're going off of what it feels versus like an artist that's sitting down and writing. Like I'm sure Benny raps and he can write, but like I'm sure it takes more effort for him versus someone that's just like, yo, this happened yesterday, let's go rap about it and this is how I feel and I'm not really thinking about putting bars together. We've already popularized like rapping off a beat, thank you Blueface and G Herbo, like so like I don't know, to me I love this new era. It's just the unfortunate part is the fact that a lot of this music is them actually encapsulating their some of the real day in day out things that happen in their lives.
Well, I feel like it's nice because like it's taking like a rock approach where it's like rock was one thing, then it was very, you know, popularized, then it's kind of to the place where it's so, there's so many different types of rock now, it's like you can almost kind of be in the one section of rock and completely disregard the other section of rock. And I like that in rap where it's like, hey, if I want to find my technical rappers, like, you know, people who are underground, regardless of the name, I can do that. And if I want to find somebody who, you know, is just going to rap on something that sounds hard, I can do that too, because you need a little bit of both.
No. And that's the thing. There's always that balance that's necessary, right? Where if you don't have that balance, then things just get thrown off course. And then next thing you know, it's no one wants to hear Earl, no offense, no one wants to hear Earl Sweatshirt like 24 hours a day. Like
maybe not 24 hours, but I want to hear Earl Sweatshirt. I do. Yeah,
listen, there's nothing wrong with it. Like no one wants to listen to Lupe every day.
Absolutely
right?
Not.
But like,
fuck like Lupe.
Exactly. Huge fan, one as big as possibly. But like, it goes back to that whole thing of, like you said, there's different pockets. And even like today with rap music, like, I mean, we always can say there's different era within each era. Pop music is different, right? But like today, rap music is like pop music of today's era, right?
Absolutely.
And I think some of these artists today, especially, have they've created a different style of rapping that's just like, hey, if I want something that I feel is more, like you say, I want something that's like, oh, I'm just trying to be lit and have fun and whatever, we have that genre as well that's kind of like in that pop sphere, I guess you could say.
Well, it's an interesting thing because you do have your rappers who, in my opinion, they're barely rapping and they're more harmonizing. I mean, it's more of a, no, I mean, this is what it is. It's more of an alternative sound. It's more alternative rap, in my opinion, just because, like, you can't say what some of these people are doing is more or less rapping because it just airs more on the other side of that. And that's cool and that's fine. But at the same point in time, that is the music that sounds more or less like pop music. Like, for example, like, you have rappers like, let's just say, 24K Golden, right? Who people consider to be a rapper. And he makes a song that sounds like a harp, like he harmonizes it the same amount as a Lil Durk. I'm not saying their music sounds the same. I'm not saying that their content is the same. But I'm saying that what they do is in some way, shape, or form similar. And when you think about it, it's just the way popular music sounds. And that's pop music to me.
I'm not mad at that. Like, so I'm not mad at that. I'm not mad at that overall because I do agree where it's like, hey, it's that could be pop music. So let me ask you this then, right? Based on that, do you believe like pop music itself has like a particular sound at all? Like, because I understand like you're saying like, okay, this may be, this has, this fits more in the space of pop, right? Or a pop sound. So do you, or I guess, well, do you feel as though pop music itself just has a sound at this point?
I think it's interesting, right? Because like we're kind of getting to a point where it's like there's rap that sounds like it's like pop rap. It's like poppy sounding rap. But you also have pop that just sounds like shit that sounds like pop, like your Katy Perry sounding shit. You know what I mean? Or like Imagine Dragon sound. You know what I mean? Like that sound where it's like, okay, this is the shit that they're going to be playing before the award shows and da-da-da-da-da because everybody likes that shit. You know what I mean? That's not necessarily rap, though. That can be... The Weeknd is a pop artist, and there's nothing wrong with him being a pop artist, but that's the sound that you're going to hear made by other pop artists. And that's okay, because you can be at the top, the cream of the crop of pop artists, but you can also have a very poppy sound that can be annoying and not be like The Weeknd.
That's true. So even if, let's say in that case, right? So do you think where you, like you said, like there, that frequency of like a Katy Perry, right? Where we know Katy Perry, Lady Gaga, so on and so forth. And I think
right,
The Weeknd might be a really good example of this. Like, do you think though he doesn't make the same music as them, do you think like the, for him to be a pop artist, do you think his music has to be in the same, like it has to be in the same frequency as them then? Because like to me, I see someone like Drake as a pop artist, right? But does he where is that over that sound overlap for like what pop is at this moment?
I think there's a general sound that sounds poppy. You know, like Drake can sound poppy the same way that Jack Harlow sounds poppy, but that's more or less a pop sounding rap. There's a pop sounding rock. There's a pop sounding pretty much for every genre. You could probably go there. But that being said, there is also on the side of that a general pop sound that sounds a little bit different. And that's where the Katy Perry's and whatnot fall in.
I can definitely agree to that because I think you see like artists like someone like Justin Bieber, for instance, right? Like pop artists, he may sing. Some people, no, granted, like you can have a lot of pop artists really just be R&B artists that are just from a different walk of life, right?
Right.
But it just ends up being pop music. So like someone like Justin Bieber, for instance, like he has a sound, or for instance, Oh Baby, like that baby, that Oh Baby song.
Right. Right.
In previous work establishments, this song echoed through day in and day out. That song will echo throughout. Right. Or any store you will walk through. Damn, I just missed my point.
All right, well, just to pick up off of what you were saying, right? Justin Bieber has that song, that Yummy Yummy song, and he has that baby song you said, right? Those songs sound totally different, but they're both pop songs. But one sounds more like a pop song, and the other one sounds like a more pop R&B song. That's my point.
Yeah, but see, even then, right? And I have no problem with that, because I think even then, though, like, I think even when pop can, like, pop can sound different, but even, I think sometimes it's the sound of the era also that makes what pop sound, what pop is, right? Because right. even though like today that yummy song then would be an R&B song. That wouldn't even be considered.
Exactly.
That wouldn't even be a pop song then. That would right. be like, oh, Justin's trying to go in a R&B route more of. But today, because of what the sound is.
Evolved into.
Exactly. What the sound evolves into. So like it becomes a pop song. So like even outside of just pop, right? Where we can, because we all come, we have an understanding of like there's a certain frequency and sound, and even different genres can have different pockets of pop music in the genre. Where I think sometimes people can get it confused with like mainstream and pop music. What do you think deciphers the something from something being pop versus something being mainstream? Then?
I feel like when you hear, that's a little tough, because I feel like the pop sound that I'm speaking of that lays on the side of every other type of pop is the mainstream sound. You know what I mean? But all of pop is kind of mainstream to a certain degree. That's why we call it pop, you know? Otherwise, right. it sounds more or less like underground music. And it's really, at this moment in age right now, there's not much of a difference between some of the underground and pop. That line is continuously blurred because you have artists like Benny the Butcher working with J. Cole's and others, you know, like this isn't just the only one.
Yeah. But even then, like, will we say Benny has a mainstream sound at this point? Or,
no.
Okay. Okay.
No, I'm saying that like J. Cole's working a more popular artist. Yeah.
Got you. Understand. First, I wasn't sure about to say, I think the closest we've gotten to Benny having a mainstream sound might have been Burden of Proof, maybe. And that might have been on some of the records, maybe one or two records. But even then, it's not like the cookie cutter dance music type of mainstream sound.
In my personal opinion, I don't think he's ever sounded pop. I only said that because of J. Cole. He's had more pop sounding records. That's what I'll say.
What song would you say is like a pop sounding song from J. Cole then?
I mean, like, what is it? Pride is the Devil.
What, because of the guitar?
Nah, just like it has like a more like mainstream sound to it. That doesn't sound like an underground song at all. I'm not saying it sounds bad. I like that song.
I can understand. I can see that. So I can see that. I vaguely remember the song. I remember the hook of it. So like I can see how it doesn't have necessarily the full polish. It has more of a polished sound. But like, so outside of J. Cole, right? Just one quick question of another artist. So what about an artist like Meek Mill?
All right. So let me walk back what I said right about J. Cole, because I think that might be more of a mainstream sound. When I think about a pop sounding artist, I think about somebody. Like, I'll think about the song like Rockstar by The Baby. As far as Meek Mill goes, I think he sounds like just a rap artist. And like he'll hit on like that sound that like your boy does. Lil Durk.
Yeah, you gotta sound
he's your boy. There's nothing wrong with it. That's your man.
You gotta chill with that, man. I mean, even look, you gotta chill with that, bro. Like, I mean, we all know this is like a Everybody Hates Durk Except Spence podcast. So
pretty much.
Yeah. It's totally fine. I accept it. You can't accept it, but I accept it, bro.
That's fair. Yeah. You know what who's not accepting shit?
Who?
The Amazon workers in New York. Apparently the Amazon workers in New York are, you know, definitely starting a union. This is the first union for Amazon in the United States. And I honestly think it's a good thing. Not because unions are necessarily a bad thing for anybody, but I feel like you need representation of workers in workplaces, especially for big companies like that. It's hard for workers, I would say, in the warehouses to probably have any type of say at all.
Yeah, I think a union in this situation, I think it definitely does show some benefit for the workers, especially definitely based off from articles I've read and just things I've heard. I've never had a personal experience with Amazon to speak to it, but just from experiences I've heard of from multiple people, people have different people that work there, I've heard, have many opinions, right? So I think something like a union for those people, it helps them. So like, I think this is something that could be very beneficial, especially in the world we work in today, and especially with warehouse jobs, which I think Amazon is pretty skilled in just because of like where they're popping up across the country.
Right.
I will say this. I think there's an irony to this, though, is that it ended up being an NYC, because if you don't remember, a couple years back, there was this whole thing about where was Amazon putting their next headquarters. And I believe they were going to put it in New York, but then they pulled out. And I think part of it was because of a unionization. So it's kind of, to me, it's the irony of that they were able to actually make this happen after that whole ordeal itself. But I think this is pretty dope. I think representation, there's nothing wrong with representation, especially for workers. So especially where you have people are not getting paid, because a lot of times when it's not unionized, when things are unionized, more often than not, you have someone that represents the person to help get them the pay they feel like they deserve, or whatever the pay is that matches their efforts at work, as well as you'll be able to have there'll be more structure in terms of the output that's necessary. I think the thing will be the most interesting, though, is if this will be able to spread across other places across the country in terms of Amazon.
Now, I know that you're not into the whole comic book thing, but Moon Knight premiered this week on Disney Plus. Only the first episode came out. Pretty much what it shows, the character, he's working in it's a museum of some type. He has multiple personalities, one being another person, one being an Egyptian god. And they haven't really got too far into it. The listeners might not even know it yet because they haven't said it in the show. But if you read the comic books, you know, like I do. So that being said, Spence, will you actually take out the time to watch this? This is going to be a weekly question. What are you going to take out the time to watch?
Yo, listen, man, I see everything.
So the answer's no. Okay.
What do you mean? What do you mean? I see everything, man.
So the answer's
nothing,
no.
Nothing gets past me.
Okay. Fair enough. We all know what the answers are, listeners. You know, chalk that one up. So, you know, we know where it stands. Day, man. Maybe Spence might not be the only one who knows, but the listeners and I know what's going to happen.
Listen, man, I see everything. I see everything. I just don't speak on everything I see. That's all. Hey, man, who knows? I'll put it like this. You'll know, I'll make it a topic one day, right? And when I make it a topic one day, you'll be like, yo, I didn't even think Spence knew about it. And it's gonna be like,
am I gonna be like that?
Yeah, you gonna call out like, yo, Lau, I can't even believe it. It's like, yo, you gotta stop sleeping on me, man. I almost went to the theater to go see Batman the other day.
What? Get out of here.
Yep. Then I got tired and I was like, I'll fall asleep for a 3-hour movie. I'm gonna fall asleep.
Who would have thought? That's crazy. That's wild.
Yeah. All right. 3 hours is a lot, bro.
Do we have anything else for the listeners?
Drink your water. That's one thing I will say. Drink your water. Yes. Jay-Z had a bar about this. It's about to get hot. Never mind. But
50 Cent had a line about it being hot too, but yeah. I can't say that either.
Now, let's pray for a good season, man.
Yeah. Do we have anything else for the listeners?
Last thing I would say to the listeners is if you like what you heard and you haven't subscribed yet, follow us on YouTube at The Highly Advised Podcast. If you want to follow us on Instagram, @TheHighlyAdvisedPodcast, as well as on Twitter, we are @AdvisedHighly. And outside of just those platforms itself to follow us, if you want to catch us not just on the platform you're on currently, or if you want to just tell someone but they don't have the platform you have, tell them we're everywhere. And you can go on any podcasting platform, any streaming platform for podcasting, and type in The Highly Advised Podcast, where you can subscribe, like, comment, share, tell us what you like, what you dislike, so on and so forth. So, and the that's all. That's the one thing I would say. That's the last thing I definitely have to say to the fans for the day.
Fans, I don't have anything else for y'all. You have been highly advised. We will see you next week. Thank you. Actually, one more thing. I do have something to say. Fans, if you look us up on Anchor at the Highly Advised Podcast, you can leave reactions for the show, voice reactions, and we can read those off on the show. We might need to start doing that, just to say. You have been highly advised. We will see you next time. Be safe. Enjoy yourself. Have a good one.
You've been highly advised. Shh.